Jesus. A night that we can come and worship you and learn about you and love on each other, God. We thank you for this time and this moment, and we give you all praise and all glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. That was super nice of you guys. Thank you. This is my church family. I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit in the old building, and I have been here ever since. I think I'm on 18 years now. 18 years, I think it is. So praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. He's just faithful. All right. So tonight I am going to be ministering on Faith Speaks. And the fun thing is once a month, you guys know I teach in the youth the second Tuesday, which is tonight. And they called and asked me to minister tonight, which was fine. But I had already had it, and then I heard Pastor Ricky say he wanted to teach on Faith Speaks as well about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think he had said. And I thought, that's the Holy Spirit. Just the Holy Spirit. It's just the Holy Spirit, you know, trying to make sure the word gets from here to back. It's probably being taught in the kids' ministry too. You know, so I thought, I'm not changing it. We're just going to, unless God wants to change it, then we'll change it. But faith speaks. So we're going to minister on that faith speaks. So praise the Lord. And the one scripture, well, I'll probably have a few more come up, but I would like John 10:10 put on the screen, please. Yay, I found my page. It's always good. So, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? And so, that we know that, and the part I want to focus on is that Jesus came. That we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Amen. So, the whole reason Jesus came, besides the fact that in Isaiah, when it says he came to heal the brokenhearted, to recover sight to the blind, right? To set those who have been taken captive free, right? That's this right here. Amen. Life. Life. He came to give us life. Amen. So that is my expectation for you guys tonight. That something that is lacking life in your life is going to receive life tonight. It's going to receive the life of Christ. Not just life. It's going to receive God life, the breath of God in it, and it's going to come and be restored and be healed and be made whole again and be made whole. That is my expectation for you guys tonight. So with that, let me pray. So Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you for this time. I thank you for everybody that's here. I pray that we all have ears that hear, eyes that see, and a heart that is open and receptive to what the Spirit of God has to say to us. We thank you that I just say things. I have boldness, utterance of speech, utterance, that utterance by the unction of the Holy Spirit come out of me, Father, and that the body may be edified, that the body may be built up, that the body may be strengthened, that the body may be healed, that which is lame may be turned back in and be made whole. So we thank you for that, God. We give you praise and honor and glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So faith speaks. Faith speaks. And so I'm going to go through a few things first, and then we'll kind of touch on that. So faith is a choice. We remember Thomas in John verse 20 through 27, where Thomas said, unless I touch his hands and stick my hands up his side, I will not believe. So it was a choice. He chose not to believe. It's completely up to us to choose to believe. So faith is a choice. Faith is now, right? Hebrews 11:1 says faith is now, right? So faith is now means that second you have your aha moment, that is your now. That is your now. That is the now that you're just like, you know it's not going to shift. You know it's not going to change. It's going to be exactly what you've been believing for. And you're like, I got it. That's the now moment. That's when faith has hit you. If you're kind of still like, I don't know, you know, maybe I'm praying wrong. Yeah, forget it. That you're not in faith. And I love Pastor Ricky said one night he ministered, you can never have a faith failure. Never. You can never have a faith failure because you were never in faith then. Because faith cannot fail. Faith cannot fail. So you can never have a faith failure. So just keep working it out and find your faith. Just get there, right? So never have, and I remember, I think you and I talked about, I had a faith failure, you know, and then when he said that, it was so freeing. So faith hears, right? Romans 10:17 tells faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith will hear. Faith will incline its ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So faith hears as well. Faith sees an unlimited God, a God that is for them, and a God that is willing to bless them. That's found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? It's found in everywhere. When anybody came to Jesus and said, if you are willing, and he says, of course I'm willing, right? Be whole, be healed, be restored, be free, right? Whatever it was, he was always willing. Faith can be seen, right? You can see people have an expectation on their faith, a hunger and a thirst for something that's coming. Faith can grow. Mark 4:20 talks about the word and how it's planted and how it grows and develops and produces. Faith always produces what it believes. It will always produce whatever you believe. You could even if it's not biblically based, you're going to produce it because you have faith in it. Okay, so you can produce something that's not biblically based just because of the fact that you believe in it. Okay, so, and we always speak what we believe. So faith speaks. So what are you speaking? A long time ago, I had a message. Remember it was the guy who says, what's in your wallet? You guys remember that commercial? What's in your mouth? What's in your heart? What are you saying? So, anyway, so then faith speaks. And I'd like to look at Proverbs 18:21. Please. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I like New King James, by the way. Just an FYI. Thank you. So death and life. So are you speaking death into your life? Or are you speaking life into your life? Because it's in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You're going to eat whatever you're saying. Whether you're speaking death, you're going to eat the fruit thereof. Whether you're speaking life. And you're going to speak what you believe in your heart. Okay, so what you're believing in your heart, you're going to start saying out of your mouth, and then you're going to see it. And that Pastor Ricky said it very often, you're living today what you said yesterday. Is that correct? Is that how he says it? Right? So we want to be mindful what we say. Let's look at Matthew 17, verse 20, please. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So again, you should speak. It's speaking. Faith speaks. If you had faith as a mustard seed, and we all have a mustard seed of faith, we've all been given the same measure of faith. Amen. We have it. We have it. There's nothing. And he says, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move. We have a mustard seed faith. We've all been given the same measure of faith. Amen. The same measure. So you have it. You have mountain-moving faith right now inside of you. Once you step into the kingdom of God, you have mountain-moving faith ability on the inside of you. But are you utilizing it? Are you functioning in it? Are you bringing it to the best of its ability in your life? Or are we speaking death into our life? Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, please. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I want to look at Exodus 4:12 or 14:12. We're going to take a look now. Let's try 4:12 first. Well, whatever you did first. You did 4:12. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your...
Amen.
Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your...
Mouth.
Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your...
Mouth.
How does God function in our lives? By what we say.
Amen.
That's how he's going to function in our lives, is by the things that we say. Death and life, the blessing of God or cursings, function by what proceed out of our mouth. How he was with Moses. He is with Joshua. He will be with their mouth. He will be with our mouth. We have to declare the things that are right. That was Exodus 14. So Exodus 4, is that what it was? Exodus 4, okay. Thank you. Amen, amen. And now, so in John, and I didn't write down the actual verse, I apologize for that, but it says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. He did not say, I am a way. He did not say, I am a truth. And he did not say, I am a light. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Everything going on in your life may be a fact, but it is not the truth.
Amen.
When there is a situation going on in your life that is contrary to the word of God, that situation, sorry, I have to get back here. That situation is a fact, but it's not the truth.
Amen.
Right? We can have situations happening, but if it's not, but if it doesn't agree with the word, it's not truth. Right?
Amen.
Facts can be changed. Truth can never be changed.
Amen.
It cannot be changed. That's why God can say, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not.
Amen.
He does not change because he is truth.
Amen.
And truth does not change. Facts can change, but the truth remains the same. Fact is, right, that there is gravity. I mean, truth is, there is gravity, right?
Yeah.
The fact is, an airplane can supersede the truth and fly in the air, right? But if the engine shut down and everything goes awry, the truth will now be invoked. It will show up because it's never going to change. It's always going to be there, and your airplane is going to plummet to the ground. So truth cannot change. God does not change, and his truth remains the same forever and ever. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same.
Amen.
He's the absolute same. So it doesn't change anything. A fact you are dealing with, it could be big, but it does, if it does not agree to the word, the truth is subject to be changed. Do not mix up denial as though you're in faith. You can't deny a fact and think that you're walking in faith.
Amen. Amen.
The doctor comes in and gives you a bad report. I don't receive that. The test came back positive, whatever. Okay, that's a fact. But the truth says, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed, right? That's the truth. So when we talk about not saying the doctor's report, that's a good thing. We don't want to declare the doctor's report. We want to declare the Lord's report, right? There's a good song. I will believe the report of the Lord, right? I will trust in him. I will, what is it? Worship in one accord. Yeah, worship in one accord. One accord. Be agreement with the word of God. So your fact can change. A denial of your fact does not mean that you are in faith. It does not constitute as faith. It's a good start. It's a good confession. But it doesn't mean you're in faith. Faith declares the word. Faith speaks. Faith says, I understand what that report says, but the report of the Lord says this, and this is the report I'm going to believe in. This is the report I'm going to trust in. This is the report I expect to show up. This is the report that's going to show up, because that just is what it is, and that's my God. Because God came to give you life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
So anything that's attacking your life is not from God. Anything that's bringing destruction to your life is not from God. And you have to speak into that situation what the Word of God says. Because as he was with Moses, as he was with Joshua, so he is with you and I. We have to speak. God does not speak on our behalf. God is not down here giving orders, giving directions, doing anything like that. That's what he has us for. God needs a mouthpiece on this earth, and that is exactly who we are. We are to be God's instruments. We are to be his mouthpiece. We are to declare his goodness, his righteousness, his faithfulness, and his word here in the earth and within our lives. And the faith, and faith speaks. It speaks. You have to speak, and it speaks, and it comes to pass. It changes your facts into truth. Satan can only bring facts to your life. He can never, and he never will bring the truth. But the truth is higher than the facts. The truth is higher than any law. The truth is higher than any situation that you're facing or any circumstances. The truth has precedence and priority if you give it the authority to have it, right? If you don't give it that position, then it won't just usurp that position, just like the airplane. The airplane decided to fly. So gravity said, okay, go ahead and fly. It's kind of the same concept, right? So God just doesn't come in and usurp his will, his word over your life. He just can't do that. We have free will. And then what we say, we're either speaking the word, which is anointed, it's God-fused, and it makes him show up in our lives. And so we're either speaking that into our lives or we're speaking death into our lives. So it's one or the other. And we get in situations, like recently I've been in just this havoc at work. And, I was driving home and I was complaining. Sometimes, you know, to get to an answer, you know, we're like, okay, well, what about this? What about this, Lord? Okay, what about this? And I don't like that. So anyway, but the Lord kept telling me, You're not saying the right thing. And I'm like, well, I don't see how I'm going to get out of this. I do not see how this is possible. That I've did this before. I did this 2 years ago, and it was so big and so overwhelming and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you're not asking the right thing. You're not saying the right thing. And I'm like, I know. So, okay, so what? So I don't see a cover. I don't see an end. I know you can help me. You know, he's like, you're not saying the right thing. And it was like, Okay, I'm not saying the right thing. Okay. I am victorious. I can do this. I can do all things Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do this. I am an overcomer. I shall not be overcome, right? So now I'm speaking into the situations that I'm facing on a daily basis, and I'm speaking the life of God to come in and to help me and to strengthen me and to give me wisdom to do the job that's been placed in front of me. Little tricks, little whatever it is. If I need help, God's going to be my help instead of being upset that the situation is in front of me. So praise the Lord. So we speak faith will speak. I love all my little notes all jumping around. It was like one circle, two circle, over here, over there, back over there. So anyway, praise the Lord, because of course the Lord added to it. So thank you, Jesus. So let's see where he wants to go. All right, so this is the betwixt. This is like, which direction, Father? This was the betwixt. Whichever way you want to go, Lord. Okay. We're going to go to Romans 10, 9 through 13. Please. Says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That For the scripture says, okay, I thought it, yeah, just 10, right? Did I say, oh, 13. Okay, let's keep going and see what it says, sorry. For the scripture says, whoever, God bless you, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Amen. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all, rich to all who call upon him. Okay, let's go back to 10, please. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth a confession is made unto salvation. So that word confession right there, it's not a confessed. It's confession. So it's a continuation. You're going to continue to confess. Do we continually say, Lord, come into my heart. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I believe that God raised you from the dead, blah, right? Do we always re-say the prayer of salvation? No. So what is the confession that we're going to keep confessing? And is made unto salvation. And that word salvation is actually, it's sozo in the Greek, and it means to save, to deliver, to protect, literally or figuratively, to heal, to preserve, to save self, to do well, to be whole or to make whole. So when we get saved, we don't look good right away, right? We don't look like we're, you know what I mean? Like, okay, so I know a lot, some of you know my testimony, some of you don't know my testimony, so we'll just put it out there. I was a meth head when I was about like 16 through 20. Do I look like I was? No, okay. So when I got saved, I probably didn't look so good, right? But through the confession of salvation, things in my life continued to become whole. Pieces of my life. Because I'll tell you what, we're not ready to give God the entirety of our heart because it's a relationship. And if you don't really trust somebody, you don't really give them the entirety of your heart. You give them a piece and say, okay, are we going to be okay with this piece? Right? And you just give little pieces at a time, and little pieces, he makes your life whole in sections, right? In pieces. So the confession, so our mouth, the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we have to keep confessing the word of God in our lives. We have to keep speaking faith in our lives. We have to keep declaring the truth in our lives. And the more we declare it, I think Pastor Clinton mentioned the other day, the more, was Mark Hankin, the more that you say something, the more you hear it, the more it gets in your heart, and the more you'll believe it. And so you want to say the word, even if you know you're not in faith, right? If you're, you know, you're on that fence, like, you know, am I in faith? Because you're not in your now, right? Like now, like I just know. That's faith. Yeah, I just know. It's, I just know, right? You just know. When you're in faith for something, nobody can shake you off of it. Nobody can tell you something different and pull you away from it because you just know. You just know. It's just fact. It just is. It's a fact in your heart that will manifest in the natural. So you want to speak the word of God into your life, and you want to start declaring the truth so that you can hear it, so that faith can increase in your heart, so that when you start speaking, the speaking becomes different. Like, I think it was, who's the preacher that you liked, Mom, who used to come here? David Husky. David Husky talked about parroting off scriptures doesn't mean you're in faith. And I concur. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we all agree with that. Just because you're parroting off a scripture doesn't mean you're necessarily in faith. However, it doesn't mean to stop. It doesn't mean to not do it. He was just trying. For me, when he said that, it kind of threw me through for a loop, and I was kind of like, well, then should I not say anything? Or, you know, what am I doing? So, but basically, he was telling us that's not an action of faith. It's not faith, but what you're doing is you're trying to hear it, and you're trying to increase it, and you're trying to learn. So it goes in your hearing and goes in your heart and comes out of your mouth, and then it starts taking hold. And then you're like, oh, I got it. Oh, I see it now, right? And then all of a sudden you have this revelation that comes, and that's when you know it's not going to change. It's gonna keep doing exactly what you've asked it to do. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and faith speaks. And faith changes your facts into the truth of the word of God as long as you are declaring the word of God in your life. Because you can speak death. You can speak death into your life. And you can, like me, for the last month. I mean, I had this job for a month, well, this extra job for a month, and I've just been saying, it's too much, it's too big. I come in, I'm stressed, I'm waking up thinking about it. I was sitting here praying, thinking about it, and I'm like, stop it. You know, geez, Louise, this is crazy. And so it's like consuming me. And that's because, guess what I was thinking? Guess what I was saying? Guess what I started believing? Okay, guess what manifested? Stephanie being stressed out, right? And right, seriously, that's what came, with Stephanie being stressed out at work. So, and that's usually not who I am. And so anyway, so now I know, you know, I'm going to be victorious because God is my help. He will not let me fail. He's my very present help in time of need, and he's going to give me wisdom, wisdom that no other man has. He's going to give me wisdom to do this job better than anybody else does it because the favor of God is on me, and that's how it's going to be, and that's going to be that. So there we go, and I think I'm in my now moment, so and that's just going to be it. And so I am going to touch on James. Oh, maybe I'm not. I think it's James 3. But I really like the TPT. James 3. Never mind. King James is fine. James 3, we're going to start at verse 1. Please. So, and this is not, please don't take this hard. Because at first I was like, this could be super huge corrective. So I want you to take it as wisdom. Amen. Take it as wisdom. Don't take it as like, because we've all, I mean, we all walk through this all the time. So it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. We do. If anyone does not stumble in word, speaking, what he's talking about, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell, by our flesh, by our emotions. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Stop there. But remember, it said earlier, if anybody is able to do it, he's a perfect man. So Jesus was perfect. He was well able. He is our example. And we can follow that example because we have the strength of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're able. It's not because we're great. It's not because we can do it. But because the Holy Spirit that dwells within us and upon us, he gives us the strength and the ability to check us, to say, why are you saying that like I was doing? I mean, I just got done doing it. You know, I was saying the wrong things. And the Holy Spirit's like, what are you doing? You're not saying it right. What are you saying? You're not saying the right thing. You're not saying the right thing, Stephanie. So we can control our tongues. And the previous verses, let me look at one more, please. There we go. With it, we bless our God and Father. Woo, hallelujah. Praise you, God. We love you. We love you, Lord. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Man, she made me so mad. How dare she? She's so rude. Dang her. Oh my, or him or whoever it is, right? But God loves that person just as much as God loves me. Right? Amen. But don't we do that? Don't we do that? Amen. So right there, it says we're speaking cursings. We're not speaking, we're blessing God, but we're cursing man. Hello? We can't do that. I mean, we can do that. We're capable of doing it. We should not. We should not do that. We should not. We need to speak life, and we need to speak life over people and over our enemies, and I'm just going to go there and wrap that. So I can't think of the scripture right now. However, it says that we are to pray for our enemies And we are to pray for those who hurt us and spitefully use us and persecute us. And I'll tell you a quick story about that. So it should be quick. I have 4 minutes. We'll be fine till 8. So instead of speaking cursing, we want to speak life over people. Your message last Wednesday about the light and the flower, out of the park. So good. Praise God. If you guys didn't hear the message, such a good message on love. So years ago, I was in the junior high ministry teaching, and I had a lesson, and the Holy Spirit says, they're in hate, and you have to correct it. And I'm like, okay. So I come in, and I'm like, okay, guys, the Holy Spirit, because I was just off the cuff then. I was just like, boom, there it is. So there was no grace. It is. Just lay it out there. So anyway, they're like, we don't hate anybody. We love everybody. I'm like, well, God said you do, so I believe him and not you. So there we are. That's how I was with them. I mean, it's really how I was with them. And I didn't know much about grace. So anyway, I was young. So what they had to do is they had to write everything, not the name of the person. I didn't want to know who it was. But they had to write on a letter everything that they hated about that person that they hated. Take the one that you despise the most, the one that you're talking about right now, the one you talked about yesterday and you're going to talk about tomorrow. And so write everything down and then put it in an envelope and put your name on the envelope. And every Sunday we're praying over these people. So every Sunday we laid all the envelopes out. We all laid hands on the envelopes. We spoke blessings over all of them. And we spoke that God would just minister into their lives in some measure, whatever they needed to do, but that they would know God more than anything, that their lives wouldn't be in turmoil, right? Hurting people hurt people. So they say, right? So we wanted peace in their lives. We wanted blessing in their lives. So we started praying these things. So at the end of the school year, and this was like January, February, and so now it's the end of the school year, so we pop open the envelopes, and I asked everybody what happened. And one person, the teacher got fired. And I said, praise God. I said, because you spoke the blessing, God is able to go in there and move, and he moved the person out, so he can't hurt anybody else. Glory be to God, right? One person said, we're like best friends now. I'm like, really? Total best friends. And another one says, well, it was really me. You know, it was me, and they didn't do anything, and it was my wrong, and I apologized. So, right? This is God. This is what God does. So, just do it. Just do it. Speak life. Speak the word. Speak the blessing. And the more you speak the blessing over someone else, the word says that as we give, it is given back unto us in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The more we're speaking into somebody else's life, somebody's speaking into our life. Amen. We speak blessing, somebody's speaking blessing. We're speaking cursing, somebody's speaking cursing. Amen. Serious. I mean, let's twist it. Let's sow both sides of that one, right? If you want to be blessed, you need to start speaking the blessing. And somebody, God is going to put on somebody's heart just to pray for you. Every day, there's millions of people in the world. And God can say, hey, I need you to pray for this person. And they're going to get up and they're going to start praying for you. They don't even know you, but they're going to pray for you. Amen. Because you're praying for somebody else. And you're praying for that person over there. And you're praying for that person over there. And I remember becoming very consumed with myself as a Christian. Am I here enough? Am I doing enough? Am I speaking enough? Am I doing this enough? Am I praying enough for my life and myself and my wisdom and blah, 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 blah. And it was all me. And it shifted in that junior high class. It shifted OSL. It shifted through those situations. And I started believing for everybody else what I wanted. You know, wisdom, God, peace. They need peace. They need peace. If I need peace, they need peace, right? Right? If I need provision, they need provision. If I need a car, they need a car. Right? Just start speaking life into everybody. And God is honestly the sustainer of my soul. He sustains every part of me because I give him every part of me, probably. But I take the time to sit with him, to learn of him, to know him. I can say as I think it was God who said to Moses, or maybe somebody was prophesying it later, but the Israelites knew God's ways, but Moses knew God's heart. I want to know God's heart. I know his ways. You can read about him, everything that happened in Egypt and everything with Abraham and Sarah and everybody. You know, you can read those things. We can know, you know, yeah, he's done those things. This is God. I want to know the whys. I want to know the secret things. I want to know his heart. You know, so I take that time. And so I just leave you with an encouraging word to just sit with the Lord. Just take some time. It's awkward at first. First time I got on my knees at home alone, it was awkward. It was weird. It was strange. But I'm like, okay, here I am now. Okay, what do I do now, Lord? Right? You just be real. Just be real with God. He's so great. You know, he's holy, and we have holy moments. We have hysterical moments, right? You all seen me laughing, right? We have hysterical moments together where we just laugh and have a good time. I dance around my house listening to certain songs, and I always think about David, how he danced before the Lord, and his wife was embarrassed, and I asked my husband, are you embarrassed? He's like, no. He doesn't care. He loves how much I love the Lord, you know? And so I just encourage you guys, just be like David. Just be outrageous. Be outlandish with your worship, you know, and just start giving him those pieces that you really don't want to give him, because you can really trust him. You really can. Amen? Well, I hope that helped you guys. Remember, faith speaks as he was with Moses, as he was with Joshua. How was he? In their mouth. So he is with us. Amen? So speak life. Speak life. Speak faith. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word. I pray that it brings strength to the body. It edifies them. It builds them up, encourages them, puts joy in their hearts, Lord. And Holy Spirit, just keep talking to them about the secret places and talking to them about spending that time with you, even how strange it may sound, and even the pieces we really don't want to give you. Just show areas that it's time to surrender. It's time to surrender that one thing to get to the next, to get to that true place of freedom. So we thank you for you. We thank you for you. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for redemption. We thank you so much that you just take joy in us. And we give you all praise and all glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Okay, you're dismissed. Thanks, you guys.